You are listening to The Nature of Things on WRVO. This essay originally aired on February 21st, 1992.
I had a call last week from a newspaper reporter working on a feature about snow. He was looking for something positive to say. There must be some benefits from snow, he said. I gave him a few ideas, but I don't think I've really helped him too much. On the other hand, he helped me quite a lot, because he set me my mind to wandering through a bunch of winters, some snowy, some not. There are so many factors that affect the result. For instance, we hear about record snows this winter, but I've had only had to clear my drive a couple of times. My neighbors would tell you, of course, that my driveway clearing is never cosmetic. If I do it, it was really needed. Oh, we were expecting visitors. I've mentioned before erosion and heavy runoff due to rain falling on frozen earth. I've mentioned the effect of the snow blanket in controlling the depth of the frost layer. I've even waxed eloquent about the snow bank as a repository for moisture which will be needed to initiate the first new growth of spring. If you study the winter landscape when there's no snow in the way, you can see some interesting things which are normally hidden. First, it really looks bleak. The snow provides a softening accent that moderates the bareness of unadorned winter. A closer look, however, reveals a variety of things usually covered by the snow. Last fall's leaves are already beginning the process of breakdown, which returns them to the soil whence they came. In some cases, I find exquisite leaf skeletons consisting of water-bearing veins and veinlets from which the intervening leaf tissue has been removed already. This applies to some of the more fragile leaves, like grape or cherry. The more heavily waterproof, like those of the oak, show little breakdown as yet. Digging under this year's leaf litter, I find the progressively more decomposed remains of previous seasons. It's possible to trace the process of soil building from leaf to humus within an inch of the surface. Nature's doing a lot of work for us all out right there. Some of the leaves retain the remains of another interesting nature story, which might otherwise have been overlooked. On the surface of leaves of cherry, oak, and maple are numerous little cones, balls, or pouch-like structures. These strange abnormal outgrowths actually result from the activity of insects, which, for instance, lay their eggs in the tender growth tissues of the plant. The plant, in reaction to the irritation caused by this event, or by the activities of the larvae which hatch from the eggs, grow the strange structure as an isolation chamber, according to one viewpoint, to separate the intruding organism from the normal plant tissue. Whatever the purpose, the shape of the gall and the plant on which it grows will tell entomologists whether the intruder was a wasp, a fly, an aphid, a midge, or some sort of non-insect such as a mite. The young feed upon the tissue so formed and normally emerge as full-grown adults, ready for breeding and egg-laying. The adults of aphids and mites may be found in the galls along with the young. There are even cases of cohabitation by insects which did not cause the galls, but which take advantage of the shelter and food they supply. Another thing which the snowless winter woods reveals is a variety of evergreen herbaceous plants, which normally survive the winter unseen by us under the snow mantle. Wintergreen, partridgeberry, and the rosettes of many biennial weeds add a welcome green accent to the brown hues which typify winter. This rosette form, like a doily, is particularly advantageous since it hugs the ground and is therefore soon covered by an insulating layer of snow. An interesting miniature jungle is revealed on the surface of some exposed rots or bits of wood. Only a half inch deep, the lichen jungle actually represents a stage in the soil building process, and the stone upon which the lichen colony rests is hastened on its way from rock to soil because of the presence of the lichen. The life processes occurring in the lichens form weak organic acids, which help etch into the rock, releasing minerals and helping to develop the soil pad between lichen and rock. One could go on at length discussing the many revelations which a snow-free winter landscape can provide. At the field edge are the remains of many weeds. The seeds removed from their dry pods and examined with a hand lens provide another story about the beauty of nature. Tiny knobby tops, shiny variegated beanlets, polished black discs and pyramids, all containing the spark of life and the necessary food supply to get the growth started. Some of them have the most interesting adaptations for the life they must lead. Gossamer parachutes or papery sails transport the seeds far enough to get them away from the shade of the parent plant. Barbed stilettos, spines, or hooks help them to adhere to the fur of animals or to the clothing of man. In some species, the mode of transportation may actually be in the alimentary tract of the animal, which feeds on the plant. Inglorious, perhaps, but most effective. In this fashion, birds plant fruit trees every day of the year. There is certainly nothing remarkable in all this, except the seemingly infinite variety and fruitfulness of nature. The remarkable thing is that we have become so isolated from the wonders of nature that we can actually believe the winter landscape without snow is barren and devoid of interest. Well, that's all I have for today. This is John Weeks saying thanks for listening. Tune in next week and keep it natural.